Philippians 4, chapter 10 through 12. I'm excited for what God is getting ready to do in Terre Haute, Indiana, and I'm excited what he's going to do in our church. But you know what? Today's message is called Don't Be Bound by Your Circumstance. The Lord gave me this a couple weeks ago as I was thinking about some different things in my life and other people's lives and how we are so bound by our circumstance. So in Philippians 4, verse 10, it says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to be abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer." Like I said, today's message is don't be bound by your circumstances. How many struggle with life? Situations, circumstances. You know, it's amazing. Here we are in the church, and we're struggling with things in our life, with life, right? We're bound by something. It could be bound by anything in your life, and even as a little kid, you could be bound by maybe parents that were really hard on you, abused you. And you're still bound by that. Bound means if there's a word, the root word is a sore. It's a primitive root word that to yoke or hitch or to fasten in any sense. So it's fastened to you. It's yoked to you as you would take a young oxen and an old oxen and you would put the yoke on them so they could pull the implement that they would be pulling and they would be yoked together so they could pull as one. See, what happens is when you're bound by something, you are yoked to it. It's alongside you. It's dragging you down. It takes a weight that you have to pull. Or it could mean to tie, bind, imprison, or listen to this, to enslave or has been enslaved. You could be enslaved to the thing that you are bound to. So many people in the church, not just outside of the church, but inside of the church are bound by something that enslaves them. It could be finances. It could be anger. It could be hurt. But you could be enslaved by whatever is holding you down. When you're enslaved by something, it allows you where you cannot give God the full glory because you are bound. You walked in the door bound by whatever it is. Every day that you wake up in the morning, you are bound by this situation or circumstance. Do you ever feel that? Do you ever feel the weight of that? It's life. We're not supposed to be that way. It's not supposed to be that way for us. We're not supposed to be bound. We're supposed to be free. We sang the song this morning, free, right? Be free. So the opening scripture, he's on house arrest. He's on house arrest, right? He's arrested. It's in AD 62, somewhere in there, when he writes the Philippians. And he's awaiting trial during the reign of Nero, this emperor that would take Christians. He hated Christians. He would take Christians and impale them and then light them on fire as they were alive. This was really bad torture. It was probably worse than the crucifixion, being impaled, set on fire. But this is where Paul is at. He's in this house arrest, waiting trial, and he pins this. Paul recognizes that he could be facing death because of the hostile way Nero was treating the Christians. In Philippians 1:20 through 21, it says, "According to my earnest expectations and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed." He's saying nothing will shame me. "But with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." We Christians quote that verse all the time, but do you know what he's saying? He's getting ready to face death. Are you willing to face death? Peter did the same thing. Lord, I'll die with you. And soon as they came and took Jesus out of the Garden of Gethsemane, where did Peter go? He ran. Also in Philippians 2, 17 and 18, it says, yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Paul realizes that contentment is not directly related to one's environment or situation. Even though he was in house arrest, facing death, facing this, he is in a place of contentment. Because who? Because Jesus, the Holy Spirit, resides within him. He's content. He recognizes it. Now we could say, well, Paul walked out very many miracles, and he got to see the glory of God everywhere he walked. But now he's in a place, and he still has that same thoughts that we do, even though he's seen the miracles, even though he performed miracles, even though he laid hands on people, people were healed. He still had those same thoughts, and he had to say, you know what, I am content. He had to pin it out. While he's arrested, he's pinning it out, and he said, I am content in the gospel. I am content in Jesus. When we are bound by issues in our life, are you content with Jesus living in your heart? Are you content with the glory of God residing in you? Our circumstance can, our circumstances are continually changing. Life is changing, evolving each and every day, right? Galen got a new job. Galen's been working 12-hour shifts. You work the night shift yet? He will on Tuesday. So he gets to work his first 12-hour night shift. A new experience for Galen. But your life is ever changing. Now you got to deal with life. You got to deal with, how do I sleep? Can I rejoice in God that I'm going to have to work all night? I'm going to be tired. Now I'm going to have to be able to sleep 8 to 10 hours so I can go back in the next night. Am I going to have time to give God glory? See, there are situations constantly changing in our life. Are we bound by the circumstances that we're in? Paul was at peace with his circumstances because he didn't rest his hope on them. He did not rest his hope on his circumstance, even though it looked dim. He rested his hope on God. Rested his hope on God. Paul was able to rejoice while in prison because there's nothing short of a miraculous gift given supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit was residing in him, right? Holy Spirit wasn't residing before Christ. He would come in and light on people, and then he would go back. But now, since Jesus came and died, he sent the Holy Spirit. And now it's in everyone that accepts Jesus as their Savior. So through the miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit, he had peace within his heart. Do you have the Holy Spirit in you? If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, said, Lord, fill me up with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. He resides within you. Do you listen to him? Do you listen to his words? Do you listen to his heart when he's speaking to you? Are you bound by your circumstances that you're in? In verse 13 of chapter 4, Paul says that he can do all things. He can do all things what? In Christ. Right? What's that mean? What's that mean? He can do all things in Christ. Does that mean he can jump off the Empire State Building and live? But it says he can do all things in Christ. Can he go out here and stand in front of a traveling train? No. Can he stand in front of a semi-truck? It says he can do all things in Christ. The Greek word can do means to be strong, powerful, able, prevail over. The Greek word here is used 27 times in the New Testament, but this is the first time it says, and the only time it says, can do. Paul's not saying that he can do all things through Christ, but rather that he can prevail or have the victory over any circumstance by relying on Christ and his strength. He can prevail through any circumstance. I mean, if you have Christ within you, you can prevail over any circumstance, situation, any bondage that is in your life. Any drug addiction, any alcoholism, you can have and prevail through those things with Christ. If you're set free, then you're free indeed. That's one of Mark's favorite verses. You'll hear him quoted all the time. You're free indeed. If you have Christ. But the thing is Satan wants to bind us. He wants to keep us bound so we can't do the things that he's called us to do, that Christ has called us to do. Paul wrote that he could do all things through Christ, but when you look at verse 11 and 12, Paul says that he learned to be content in any and every circumstance. He was content. Even though he says he can do all things in Christ, he was content where he was at. Now, when I'm dealing with the situation, am I content when someone comes up against me? When someone makes me angry, am I content? That's the human flesh in me. My whole nature is dying. Carl probably remembers who I was back in high school. You know, we didn't take much things from anyone. But now I have to subdue myself because I am in Christ. The old nature has to die. Am I bound by my old nature? I should not be. But if I live in my old nature, then I would be bound by my old nature. Those old things would come up, and I would want to fight it at a drop of a hat. But now it's not that way. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. How many times? More than I can count. More than I would want to. How many times have you turned the other cheek? So in summary, this verse can be translated, paraphrased this way. It says, I can have the victory or prevail over any circumstance or situation through my union with Christ who continually strengthens me. That's the opening. That's just the opening of where we're going today. Can we be strengthened in Christ? Are you strengthened in Christ? Even in the situation or circumstance that you're in. What are you bound by today? Holy Spirit's already talking to you. Holy Spirit is already talking to you. What are you bound by today? What did you wake up with that you don't want to have in your life? What did you wake up with that causes you to be imprisoned, tied to, bound to, handcuffed to? What did you wake up enslaved to this morning? Thoughts, sickness, disease. Could have happened from the very time that you were young and you've been a slave to this for years. You've just lived with it. You've lived with being bound. You just said, you know what? All things can be good through Christ who strengthens me, and I will prevail. You can say that, but do you ever want to be set free? This is the whole purpose of Christ coming into the earth, to set the people free, to make a way to heaven for us, for his people. We've all dealt with something in our life, each and every one of us. These kids that are in here, each and every one is going to deal with things in their life. It could be hate, jealousy, anger, lust, sickness, disease, disappointment, feeling of being accepted. You know, how many people feel like, oh, I just want to be accepted? Feeling of being accepted, feeling of being lonely, and you're bound by those things. There's so many more. I just wrote down a few. There are so many more that you could be bound to today. Empty nesters could have been bound to your children. As they leave, then you don't know what to do. You're in a place of being bound to oh, I'm lost. Many of you have been dealing with sickness, and it binds you each and every day. Why I say that is because my wife has been dealing with some things in her life. And it binds her. It causes her to where she, it's hard for her to rejoice. And I used to think about this in the past years, in a few years ago, when it was hard for her to enter into the worship. She had Christ within her heart. She didn't know I'm going to talk about her today. She's like got a big question mark on her. On it, like, where are you going? But what I've seen is it was hard for her to worship. It's like, God, why do I have to have whatever's going on? We don't know what's going on in her body. We know that she struggles with some things in her body. So it's like we've prayed. I know Travis has prayed. I know some other people have prayed for things in their other spouse's life or, you know, whatever's going on. It's like, well, why do we have to deal with this? Why are we bound and enslaved to this disease or sickness? But what I noticed is when she began to start this course or this way that she's going right now, she's been reading, hearing lectures and doing some things, and the Holy Spirit has been working in her spirit, in her. And what I'm seeing is a change. She's not bound by the things that was binding her. She's not bound by the sickness because she can still rejoice in the goodness of God. She still rejoices. Just like Paul, he said, you know what? You're not going to bind. It doesn't matter if I'm enslaved or in this house, in house arrest, in prison. It doesn't matter. I'm going to worship and give God the glory. He's not going to be bound by that. You might think that God doesn't want you to be healed. You ever think that? Does it bind you? Does it cause you to not be able to worship the Lord? That's what the enemy wants. He doesn't want you to be set free. He wants you to be bound to him. He wants you to be bound to something in this earth. So you cannot give God the glory. So you cannot worship the King of Kings. It's not supposed to be that way. God wants us to be free. Jesus said in 8:34 and 36, Jesus said to the answer to them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. And then it says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. We're not slave to the enemy. We're not slave to the things in our life. We are new creations in Christ. We are anew. We are afresh. We should not be in bondage. I should be able to give everything over to the Father, and he says, you are free. I like the way the Passion Translation says it. It says, I speak eternal truths, Jesus said. When you sin, you are not free. You've become a slave or in bondage to your sin. And slaves have no permanent standing in a family. Ain't that something? Slaves have no permanent place in the family. What used to happen in the old times, in the Old Testament, if I was working for Willie, or Willie loaned me money, and I could not pay it off, my business went bankrupt, and I just could not pay it off. I would say, Willie, I can't pay you, but I will work for you. And so in the law, in the book, it says that you could do this. I could work it off for you. 6 years. I would work for you. You would supply me a house and supply me a place to live, and I would work. At the end of that 6 years, if he had given me a wife and all the stuff, and I could say either I want to stay or I want to leave. If I said, you know what, you have been so, so kind to me. You've given me a wife. I've had kids with them, and I really like where I'm at. I really love the place I am. I could say, I want to live with you forever. And what would happen is he, the guy that was loaning the money, he would say, okay, you've done a really good job for me, and I want you to stay. And so what they would do, they would take it to the officials or the priest. And they would agree and say, okay, it's a good thing. Then they would take you by the ear, put you up against a post, and they would drive a hole in your ear. And now you are bound to him forever. You are his. So whenever you walk the streets, you would know that if they had a hole in your ear, that they were bound to him forever. The enemy wants to keep us bound to him. But the Son of God, who came to die for us, to be, and he was resurrected, now sets us free. My ear is pinned to the post of Christ. Do we see? I mean, there is no hole in my ear. I don't pierce my ears. I don't pierce anything. Where are you guys going? Where are you guys going? You guys got some evil thoughts on going on. That's what I was talking about. What are you talking about? Now I know what you guys are bound by. Unbelievable. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. So now you get set free of drug addictions, alcoholism, lust, pornography, whatever it is. Don't go back to those things when you're set free. See, the problem is that spirit or that demonic spirit that is residing in you, causing you to have all those thoughts. When you wake up in the morning and you think, oh, hate, anger, I hate this person, I despise this person. That's not of God. That's of a demonic impression, a demonic oppression on your life. See, when you get set free with Christ, Holy Spirit living within you, he sets you totally free. The doors are shut. Nothing can come in. Until you allow that door to be open and you allow that enemy to walk back into your life. That's the way the demonic realm works. They cannot come into your heart. They cannot come and live and reside within you unless you give them permission. When you give them permission, you give them full access to your life. You want to know why somebody that gets set free from alcoholism and they turn around and go back worse than they ever was? Because they opened back the door, and more enemies came in. More, it says they will bring seven more, right? It says it will bring seven more back. If the house has been swept clean and nothing is in it, he will destroy the house is what he's going to do. That's why you always see drug addicts. They get set free even as kids. You know, like we said, we used to do drugs. You guys all know that. I did things I shouldn't have done. But I shut the door. I did not allow the enemy to come back in that avenue again. And this is where you have to walk out. You shut the door and keep it shut. That enemy can't come back. Now, if I open up the door of hate, if I open up the door of jealousy, if I open up the door, that enemy can come in. I don't want him to come in. So what I do is I keep my focus on Christ, keep the door shut. Galatians 5:13 and 15 says, this is the Passion Translation. Beloved ones, God has called us to live a life of freedom. But don't view this wonderful freedom as an excuse to set up a base of operation in the natural realm. Constantly love each other and be committed to serve one another. For all the law can be summarized in one grand statement. Demonstrate love to your neighbor. Even as you care for and love yourself. But if you continue to characterize or continue to criticize and come against each other over minor issues. You're acting like wild beasts trying to destroy one another. I don't know why I put that on there, but I just put that on there. Maybe someone needed to hear that today. Demonstrate love to your neighbor, even as you care for and love yourself. But if you continue to criticize and come up against each other over minor issues, you're acting like wild beasts trying to destroy one another. And what happens is you begin to let the enemy come into your life. If you're already having those types of thoughts, if you're already having those types of communications with people, then you've already allowed the enemy to walk into your life. You've already gave him an access into your heart. You've already gave him an access. Maybe your heart was not right in the first place. Maybe he's already been in there. He just opened up the door a little bit wider. But if you're bound by your circumstances, you cannot worship the Lord like you're supposed to, like God intended you to do. Here's one thing, this statement right here. People are urgent to change their circumstance, but unwilling to change themselves. Think about that. Whatever you're into, and this could be someone that's on live stream. Not saying that you're in here, okay? Not saying you're in here. Whatever you're into, you don't like it, and you want the situation to go away. You want it to be gone, but you're unwilling to change yourself. You're unwilling to open up the door. You're unwilling to get on your knees before the Father. You're scared of getting on your knees, or you're scared of change. Change is tough. Anytime you go into a place of change, it's tough. But here's the thing. The enemy doesn't want you to change. He loves for you to be in the place that you're at. I'm not speaking to everyone. I'm just speaking to one, two, maybe five people. I don't know. Maybe I'm speaking to myself. But the enemy loves to keep me in that place of not wanting to change. The false statement could be to myself, man, there's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with that. And then I believe that statement. And then it becomes a reality in my life. It doesn't matter. I'm okay to do that. God's okay with that. See, I just made a lie to myself because God's not okay with that. We read some things that God's not okay with. We as a church, if we embrace the LGBT community, if we embrace that, I don't have a problem with people. I have a problem with the demonic spirit that is in it. Okay? That's what I have a problem with, because people are good. God created good people. He created people that are really good. But the enemy has created something that destroys good people. He places falsehoods in their minds. People can have the LGBT community, you know, that LGBT thing. I love them. I just don't love their actions. Their sin is no different than someone lying. Their sin is no different than someone that is a drug addict. Their sin is no different than anybody that lusts after someone that says, oh, wow, you know, looking on it, not pornography, but just lusting after someone. There is no difference in the sin. We still love that person. They're just in a wrong mindset. So how do we change the mindset? They're bound. See, these people are bound by what the enemy has bound them to. I don't think anybody wakes up in the morning and says, this is what I'm going to do. As a man, I don't wake up in the morning and say, man, I want to be with another man. You know, I that doesn't even cross my mind. There's something that has to happen. Women the same way. Women the same way. Women don't say, oh, I'm going to wake up and be with another woman. Or I don't wake up and say, just out of the blue, say, oh, I'm going to become a woman myself. Could you imagine that? Wouldn't be very cute. Unbelievable. No, I wouldn't, because I'm masculine. That's right. I'm masculine, and I shouldn't be. God created me to be a man. He created me to be strong, mighty, powerful. That's what he created me to be. A leader of my family. That's what he created me to be. Not someone that is passive. Not someone that is going to just buckle under every little thing. But God created men to fight. That's why we go to war. I appreciate my brother, Carl. He went to war for us. Marine. He always wanted to be a Marine. He fought for us. A man, a man's man. He didn't create us to be passive and allow the enemy to come in and be a sissy. He created us to be strong. See, if we're going to fight the enemy and we're going to fight the devil, it's not going to take weak individuals. You got to know who you are. Me, myself, I've never seen the manifestation. I've prayed and cast out demonic spirits, but I've never seen the manifestation of some of the things that people are seeing today. Now, I know that we're coming into a realm and then we're coming into a place that we're going to start seeing things. So just to get you guys ready, you're going to start seeing buckets, probably alongside of the church. Because when these demonic spirits come up and come out, things come up and up out with them. But I haven't seen that to that effect yet. Doesn't mean I haven't cast out a demon. It means that I'm learning and understanding. I'm not going to be afraid of the demonic realm because he that is in me is what? Greater than he that is in the world. Right? That's what the Bible tells me. That means if I'm dealing with circumstances in my life, if I'm dealing with certain things in my life, I need to get free from those things. Those things that bind me and keep me bound. I got to get free from those things. So how do you get free from them? Deliverance. Jesus. Because it said, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Has the Son really set you free? Have you really turned over everything to him? See, the problem is like I said earlier, we make that excuse, it's okay. Well, we got to read the Bible, we got to open it up, and where it says, it's not okay. It's not okay. So what are you bound to today? What binds you? You're all in here. You love the Lord. I know that. I know you love the Lord. But each and every one of us are bound by something in our life that keeps us from the fullness of worshiping the Father. Any of us. You're bound by something. Even our kids are bound by something. It could be something that you have created in your family. Generational. People are urgent to change their circumstance, but unwilling to change themselves. Therefore, they remain bound, tied or handcuffed to, enslaved, slave to the unhealthy desires of their heart. We need a trusting faith. Do you guys have a trusting faith? Does everyone have a trusting faith in the Father? You know what that means? It means rope. It means a rope. Trusting faith means a rope. What do you hold on to? What do you grab a hold of when you need the hope, when you need trusting faith? Now we know that it talks about a three-strand cord can't be broken, right? One cord, one strand, you're hanging on it, can be broken. When you grab the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you grab a hold of that trusting faith, that trusting hope in him, he's not going to let you go. And you're not going to let go. But we need that trusting faith. We all need something to hold on to. What's the enemy giving you that fake thing to hold on to today? There's people in this place dealing with pornography. I can just guarantee it. Guarantee it. You are bound by the pornography spirit. I guarantee it. It's in this place. It's in every church. I guarantee it. He ain't showed me who it is, but I know it's in here. I didn't even plan on saying that, but that's what he just said to say. You're bound by something. You're bound by lust. It's time to get set free. It's time to give it up. It's time to, nobody has to know except you and the Father. But what I do know is you got to give it up. It's got to be something in your spirit that says, I've had enough. The lies have to stop. The fibs that you tell yourself have to stop. Samson, if you look at Samson, he was from birth, his mother, well, the angel of the Lord said he's going to be a Nazarite. The Nazarite vow meant that he could not cut his hair, he could not eat grapes, or he could not drink wine, could not eat anything unclean. The Nazarite vow meant that he was consecrated to God. He was set apart for God. Samson didn't have a choice because it was in his mother's womb. When she consecrated him, that she was not supposed to eat any fermented drink or any of that stuff, what the Bible says, he was in the womb, he was consecrated to God. God was going to raise up a judge. He was going to raise up a man that was going to fight the Philistines and fight for Israel. He was going to defend Israel. But he had to be a man consecrated to God. And I look at this, and when Samson's born and he's walking out his life, and we don't tell a whole lot of stuff about his life, but it just tells some things. How proud was he when he beat the Philistines with the jawbone of an ass? I wonder what he thought in his spirit. I wonder if he thought that he was, man, I can't go with my buddies and drink fermented wine. I can't do this. I can't even cut my hair. I just wonder what he thought. But then he goes and finds this Philistine girl. And she asks him what his strength is. Where does he get his strength? And he lies to her three times. What is it? It says cords, bowstrings that have been dried, ropes, new ropes, Then he says, each time he gets closer and closer to what his power came from. The third time he says, if you take my hair and my locks, my seven locks, and you weave them in a weaver's bow, and then I'll lose all strength. And he was bound to the Nazarite vow, but the enemy was placing things in his heart. See, we're set apart for Christ. We're set apart. If you've accepted Jesus, you are set apart for the work of our King. Not just to get in heaven, not just to get that free ride to heaven, but you are set apart. Your life is supposed to be changed. Your life is supposed to be different. Your life cannot be the same as you was before. You cannot be in bondage of these addictions and still walk out the fullness of God in your life. We want to have the fullness, the Mark 16 gospel in this church, right? I want to have the Mark 16 gospel in this church. They will cast out demons. These signs will follow those who believe. They will cast out demons. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will not harm them. We talked about those a few weeks ago. And then it says that they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. The full gospel. What that says is, it says that anyone that is bound, the church will set them free. That's what it says. The church has not been setting people free. We've been tickling the ears of people. We have not said the hard things in the church. And now we got people in the church that are on the worship teams, that are on the past pulpits, and they're flawed. They're bound by the enemy's cause in their life. And so now we got a weak gospel. We got a weak gospel, and it's not a weak gospel. We're implanting a weak gospel in the church. How would that happen? How would that happen? What's Satan want to do? Destroy the church. Why? We're already seeing that. I think Kerry said something out the other day that the FBI is finding a way into the church, into the charismatic church. They're finding avenues to come in and take your gospel away from you, your right of the gospel. It's coming. The Bible said it's coming. There's persecutions coming in the church. Are you going to be strong enough, if you're walking out in bondage, are you going to be strong enough to walk out in the fullness of God? Probably not. You're probably going to be bound by that because it's going to get worse. As long as you allow that bondage, that whatever you're dealing with, whatever that is, that circumstance in your life, as long as you allow it to keep you bound, you're going to get bound and weaker and weaker and weaker. It's like with any disease, what happens if cancer? Cancer can be destroyed by the works of Christ, right? We've seen it. We've seen it. We've heard people, Smith Wigglesworth, things would just melt off of people. We've seen it. But people, the Satan wants to get in and tear apart the church and keep them bound. If I can implant a weak gospel into the church, I can keep them all bound. They're going to think they're okay. They're going to think they're okay because it's coming from the pulpit. It's okay. I'm telling you, it's not okay. In our church, it's not okay. I can't come around and accuse you, and I won't accuse you. But I will do is preach the word, allow the Holy Spirit to convict you, because the Holy Spirit is in this room. He is around this area. It says he surrounds us. And as we preach the word, the Holy Spirit begins to tug on your heart. And then change begins to happen. Not because of me, because the Holy Spirit. Not because of someone else that stands in this pulpit. It's because the Holy Spirit is convicting you to grow and change and become more like Christ. Sickness and disease. We have some people dealing with things in their life in this church. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to lay hands on the sick and they should recover. I'm trying to build my faith. I'm praying. I'm seeking the Father's heart for you guys. I don't want to be bound by that sickness. I don't want to be bound by disease. But I want you guys to understand that the enemy wants you to be bound. He wants it so you cannot worship God fully. He wants it so you cannot raise your hands in freedom. That's what he wants. He can keep you bound. He can destroy you. Well, God, I love you, Lord, but I know you don't want to heal me. That's not what the scriptures say. Whenever he walked the earth, it says that he healed them all. I'm sorry that I'm missing it. It's not your fault. I'm sorry that I'm missing it. God's called me to stand in this pulpit. I'm sorry that I'm missing it because I'm missing it. Because God called that on my life in 2003, 2004, that I'm supposed to lay hands on the sick and they're supposed to recover. That's what he told me. I still stand on that today. But what am I missing? What has kept me bound from walking in the fullness of God? What has kept you bound from walking in the fullness that God has set in your heart? What is keeping you bound? We are supposed to be set free. So as we close this morning, Jesus wants to set people free from the bondage of what enslaves you today. You all know, each and every one of you in this place know what's keeping you bound this morning. Jesus said in John 16:31 and 33, Jesus said, he answered them, "Do you not believe? Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus has overcome the power of darkness. He has overcome the power of sin. He has overcome the power of death. Where is your sting? Right? Death, where is your sting? If you're scared, afraid of dying, it's because the enemy is saying, you know, you need to stay here a little longer. We need you to hear a little longer. Absolutely not. I'm not worried about death. I know where I'm going, but God has a plan for me. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for your life. I don't want to die in sickness. I don't want to die in disease. I want to live in health. I want to live in the fullness of God. I want to live in the gospel of God. Today, what's overcoming you? What's overcoming you this morning? Put some music on, Travis. Just some instrumental. I want to take just a few minutes. It's not labor intensive, because if you want to change, you want to change, or you don't. It doesn't matter to me. It matters to you. It matters to the walk that you have with Jesus. Here's what I do know. We pray every Wednesday and Friday night in this place. We pray over these altars. The Holy Spirit is in this place. I'm praying for the fullness of God in this house to change people to walk out in the fullness of Him. It's your choice if you want more. It's your choice if you want more of Him. It's not my choice. It's not Sonny's choice. It's not Linwood's choice. It's your choice. God has given you the power to surrender. The enemy cannot take that away from you. He cannot cause you not to surrender. But God has given you the power to surrender. Everything within me. I've been at the altar in my home. I've been at the altar in the woods. I've been in the altar everywhere and said, God, I here I am. I'm a failure. I've made mistakes. And I miss it. I want to draw myself closer and closer to Him. What keeps you bound this morning? What keeps you in that place? I'm not fully able to worship the Father. What keeps you in that place of being able to witness the fullness of God? What keeps you in that place? Father, we just come before you today, Lord. Holy Spirit. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, you just begin to move.